Robert, you'll get there someday, and you'll be thinking, oh, these are reading glasses, yeah. And I used to laugh at people that used them, and now I have three pairs. And depends on the, yeah, it's just, it's reality. As Pastor likes to use the word, reality is finally set in that, you know, we're hitting that, I guess, what would it be, Pastor, the golden years? You know, as I was putting this message together, I think God was reminding me of all the goodness, all the things He's done for us over the years. God has been merciful. God has given us so much. And sometimes we take it for granted. You know, as I was thinking about our country tonight, there's been prayers for our country. The things that are going on in this country. This country is ready to fall apart. It's ready to come apart at the seams. Whether you're a conservative or a liberal, Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever you think your title is, it's not going to matter, church. Jesus Christ is looking for people who are going to stand. They're going to stand in the gap. And tonight, as I look at our country, it's in really, really sad shape. And it's been like that for a while. The forces of evil would like nothing more to destroy this country, not because of the kind of country we are, but because of the Christian base that it has. And once it's destroyed, once it's gone, church, it's open season on those people that call themselves Christians. We always have to go back and remember where we've come from, church. Tonight's message, the title of my message is Manna of Remembrance. Manna of Remembrance. And my text is going to be found in Exodus chapter 16. And I want to read a couple of verses to begin tonight's message. If we can all turn to Exodus chapter 16. And I want you to look at verse 32 and 33. And it begins like this. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations." Father God, in Jesus' name, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, Lord. We're grateful to you, dear God, for the tender mercies you have shown our country, our church, our family members, for everything you continue to do for us, Lord. The ability to be here tonight, Lord God, to gather as a congregation, Father, knowing, Father, that you have kept, Lord God, kept us from harm's way, Father God. Lord God, we're grateful to you for everything. We ask for your blessing upon this time together tonight, upon this message. Lord God, we invite your Son, Jesus Christ, as his Holy Spirit, to remain with us for the remainder of this service, Lord, but also to go home with us, to share our homes, our abode with us, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for who you are and what you've done and what you're going to do. But more than anything, God, we thank you for what you did for us years and years ago up until the present, for giving us memories, dear God, and for allowing us, Lord, be able to always reach back and know that you are always there. In Jesus' name, we're going to praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The one point I message tonight, church, is, what have I done with the manna? What have I done with the manna? Exodus. You know, when I look at this message, Exodus, and basically I'm going to follow chapter 16, verses 1 through 35. And it's a story of children, a story of people in the wilderness. You know, as we go through the Old Testament, as we look at Exodus, as we look at where the children of Israel, what they had to come through because of rebellion, because of the sin in their lives. Church, many times we have to go through the wilderness. And many times God is going to have to reach and teach us a lesson. Stiff-necked, the church, and I'm talking about the church, I'm not even talking about the country. The country itself is in such dire straits tonight. And we talk about blessings. We talk about memories. You know, we talk about the work of the new church building. But I think Brother Robert hit the nail right on the head tonight, church. You know, the work needs to start here. And I think I mentioned it the last time I preached. Our work needs to start here. We cannot take the old us over there. You know, when the Lord told Moses to take an omer, and it was of manna, and put it in a pot. I want you to put it as a remembrance so the children of Israel can look at this and say, you know what, I remember. I remember what that manna was for. You know, God is saying, do you, as a church body, do I know what the manna was for? Do I remember what Jesus Christ did for me and where he brought me from? What about the manna? Whatever happened to the manna, church? You know, we need to teach the next generation of people. And I'm not talking just our children. I am talking those that we influence. We need to show church tonight that there are people that are looking for someone that will show them what manna is and was in our lives. Where's the manna? Tonight, there's a caravan of people headed this way. A political statement's going to be made. It's going to be a political standoff, church. But it's a political standoff to destroy our country. It is nothing more than that. It is people they're looking for, desperate people looking for a better way of life. But someone has told them, I. Someone has used them as a tool. Someone has used them for convenience. Someone has used them for destruction. And they're headed this way with the same kind of dreams we've had, church. The same kind of dreams. But there is something called a legal system. A system that we have to follow. Because you know what, church? Guess who's going to pay for all of that mess? It's going to be you, the taxpayer. And this isn't a political message. I'm just saying that as the church, where is the church? The church should be fasting. The church should be praying. The church should be prayed up. The church should be on fire. The church should be ready to go. Putting the borders, Lord, of Jesus around those people that need it. And you know, church, I don't know if that's happening. Because tonight, the march continues. You know what, church? That's what the enemy does. He continues to come at your walls. He continues to come and to remind you that you guys don't even know what manna was for, what it was being used for, what God brought you through. The enemy marches forward and says, I'm going to take your land. I'm going to take your children. I'm going to take your parents. I'm going to take your acquaintances. I'm going to take everything I can because my time is limited. Church, we are coming to a big climax in this country. Politically, this election are getting so much harder to stomach. If I were to ask the church a question tonight, how many of you have registered to vote and how many are going to vote? The realities in churches across America, many people are saying, you know what? I really don't care. I'm a Christian. I'll come to church and I will cry, but I will not do my duty as a citizen of this country of ours. God is asking for people, us as a nation, us as Christians, to look in and say, where's the manna? What do I remember God brought me through? Where is God going to take us? But remembrance is something, church. Manna remembrance. Tonight, as we sit here as a congregation, the church out there is not finished. This church here is existing. But the finished work of Jesus Christ is still being done tonight in this place. And if we get hold of that and say, we are not going to take our old habits. And I mentioned this last time I preached. We are not going to take this stuff with us to the new building. Church people are watching. The individuals that Pastor Sister Pepper mentioned. The young people writing, basically, writing their thoughts. You know, if there is no hope, we need to give them hope. But God is saying, you as a church need to look and find your manna. Where is it? What do you remember that I did for you? Church, tonight, church people are tied at their hips to their phones. I got mine on, just in case. I got my phone on. But you know what? We are tied at the hip to electronics. We are tied at the hip to social media, emails, constantly checking my emails. I do it all day long, even when I'm not supposed to be working. Constantly check. I think Brother Jason can attest to that. We all do that all day long. But we're so attached to those things, real church. And God is saying, I need you to be attached to me. I need you to look at those things you've put before me. I want you to find what you did with the manna. I want you to remember what I did for you when I pulled you out of the wilderness, when I pulled you out of your sin. What have we done? Verse 1, and he took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Constant murmuring. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. You know, church, God has shown his glory to us. He showed the children of Israel. He showed them so many miraculous things, and they still complained. They were still tied to the flesh. They were still thinking of what I had back there. You know, we talk about our nation. Men, women. Nobody remembers what it was like to work hard and to get something, not for nothing, but to get something for doing something hard. And somewhere along the way, the church lost that because the church stopped telling people, you need to pray hard. And if you're not praying hard, you got to pray harder. And if you don't think you're touching the heart of God, you need to spend more time in prayer. Fasting. We're not doing that. Where is the anguish? Where is the turmoil in our lives? Because we are constantly in our minds thinking about the things of God and saying, Lord, there's still one more situation. There's still one more life. There's still one more soul. I've mentioned this before, church. My parents, my dad, is not saved. I should have so much agony over that. For those of you that your parents are saved, that's great. But for those of you that aren't, the agony is the same agony you would have if you had a lost child. Or a lost brother or a lost sister. Tonight, church, across America, as somebody preaches the word of God, many people shut down. And it happens. People don't want to hear it anymore because people have forgotten where the manna came from. It didn't come from just the preaching of the word. It came from Jesus Christ himself. And somewhere along the way, we've forgotten that. Or we don't want to entertain that. When we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, you've brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Think about this, church. The fact that the children of Israel, they had livestock with them. They brought out their sheep and their cattle. So were they really starving? You think about that. Was that their livelihood? Maybe they didn't want to eat their livestock as they were a livelihood for them. You know, they had grown fat and happy with the rich food of Egypt. Fond memories of appeasing the flesh overrules the fact that they had been in bondage. Maybe they had developed the habits of the Egyptians as they worshipped cattle and other creatures. After all, the children of Israel made a golden calf. They were used to getting fed till they were full. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. You know, church, even when God provided manna, he expected them to go out and gather it. It wasn't a handout. It was a pickup. You were expected to go out and labor and pick this up. You were not expected to have a basket sitting out there waiting for you. You gathered the basket. There was still an element of work. God was looking for obedience. God was looking to test the children of Israel. You know, church, the walk of faith is every day. I think Sister April touched on that. You know, people are watching us. People are watching our testimonies. Whether we're inside this church building or whether we turn the switch and we go outside of these walls and we're something totally different. People are watching us. We have to be so careful with our testimonies. The walk of faith is every day. The work because of faith is every day. Trusting in his provision is every day. The bread from heaven he rained is also the bread of life he gave in his son, Jesus Christ. John 6:51 goes, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. John 6:48, I am that bread of life. John 6:33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Manna was available for 40 years in the wilderness for them. Jesus, the bread of life, spent 40 days in the wilderness for you. 40 days or 40 years. Jesus Christ spent time in the wilderness. Was it just for him? Or was it for you? Think about that, church. Jesus already had. Jesus already knew what he was going to have to go through. But I think in those 40 days, the temptations, everything Jesus went through. I think in a couple of those days, did he see my name and my face? And say, I'm going to do this for the millions of people that are going to come through this world. I am going to do this for the millions, tens of millions of people that eventually will populate this earth. I'm going to do it for every one of them. This is the God who cares for us all. But in those 40 days, what was he doing? I think he was preparing. Do I gather the amount what I need of what I need or do or what I want? What am I gathering, church? When I was gathering manna, when I'm trying to pick up blessings. Verse 5, and it shall come to pass, and on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. One day was allocated to bring in twice as the Lord expected adherence to no work on the Sabbath. Verse 6, and Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that we murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Our complaining, our complaints aren't against other people. It's against the Lord in the church world. You know, we were talking about confession sometimes, you know, in our Sunday school lesson. Confession is good for the soul, you know. And as I thought about that, how many times have we wanted to murmur about the things of God? Many times we want to murmur about the things of God to other people. Why don't we take our concern to the Lord himself? God is wanting to have a conversation with us. God is wanting to know what is on your mind. He already knows. He wants to hear it from your lips. God is wanting to know. God is wanting to have a relationship with us. At this time, at this point in world history, is the most important time to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. No other time as important, as critical as it is now. Every day his mercies are renewed. Every morning he reveals himself to us. The children should have spent more time being thankful and less time murmuring. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 6:6, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which ye have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Their issue was with God and not man. Today, man's issues are not with one another as much as the rule of power, corrupted by power, but by one supreme being, that is the law, and those that choose to follow that path. You know, church, tonight, like I said, those people that are coming up against this country, their issue And those people that sit in the back in the dark rooms and orchestrate these events, issue is not so much with authority as it is the authority of Jesus Christ. People would love to destroy Christianity. Christianity is the last stronghold that this world has as it gasps for breath. It is the last thing keeping Satan from total dominion over this world. And church, last gasp, they're looking. People are looking, dying, saying, I want to know if there is someone that has absolute truth, that knows who Jesus Christ is, who has a pot full of manna that they can go back and remember that there was something Jesus Christ did for me years and years ago. And that thing that he's done, he will do it again, and he will do it again, and he will renew me, and he will continue to do it over and over and over. But church, he's simply asking, commune with me and remember. Don't forget. Every day his mercies are renewed. Verse 9, and Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Even in the wilderness, the glory of the Lord appears. Even in our trials, the glory of the Lord will appear. But church, we need to be looking for it. Some of us are going through wilderness right now. Some of us are going through trials. Some of us are going through testings. And you know, his glory will appear in the wilderness. He is still true to his word. It will still appear. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 12, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Verse 13, and it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. Verse 14, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. Church, does anybody know what hoar frost is? Anybody have an idea what hoarfrost is? If not, I'm about to tell you what hoarfrost is. In case someone needed to ask, it consists of tiny ice crystals. Hoarfrost is formed through the same process as dew, but only when surface temperatures are below the freezing point. Hoarfrost follows a feather-like appearance, forming when the surface temperature reaches about 0 degrees Celsius before the dew begins to manifest on it. Often more rounded frost particles appear, called white frost, which is when the dew forms first and then freezes as a result. Many times, church, if you're an early riser, after a cold morning and there's been humidity in the air, you will see that hoar frost on the ground, on barbed wire fencing, on vehicles. It's small. It's minute. But there's enough of it that you can see it. Hoarfrost was a comparison to what the children of Israel were seeing when they woke up. You got to remember, church, that we are talking 40 years. We're talking seasons. We are talking that this hoarfrost-looking thing appeared every morning. You talk about a God that provides for 40 years. You're walking in the desert, and God is still providing, no matter what the season, because God, it's going to continue to provide no matter what the situation is. The hoar frost. Verse 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Church, does anybody know what manna means? Anybody have a clue what manna means? It's a Jewish word, manna. Well, once again, I'm going to let you know what manna means. Manna means what or what is that in the Hebrew. It was because of the fact that it was miraculous. The name is commonly taken or as derived from man, an expression of surprise. What is it? But more probably, it is derived from manan, meaning to allot, and hence denoting an allotment or a gift. This gift from God is described as a small round thing. You know, this thing was capable of being baked, boiled, ground in meals, or beaten in a mortar. What an interesting type of food. And God provided that for 40 years. What has God done for you, church? The manna that God provided, for those of you that are about close to the age of 40, without giving away your age, or some of you may be close to, well, we won't make it personal. I was told one time you never to ask a lady her age. You may ask her birthday, but not her. You know, if you think about that, if God provided for you for the last 30 years of your life, what have of that? If God continuously provided, there be an element of remembrance that you could pass on generation or to those around. You know what? I want to tell you about something. I want to tell you about an awesome God that continues to provide. Regardless of what is happening out in this world, God is still going to provide. Manna. This is the thing which, verse 16, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer, keep that word in your mind, for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathereth much had nothing over, and he that gathereth little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. According to his eating. What have we been fasting on the past few years? We eat to live or live to eat. Do we take to live or live to take, church? If you'll excuse me, I need a drink of water. Do we take to live or live to take? The gifts of God are plenty. However, they're limited by your obedience. The children had to take only what they could consume, not what they wanted to save. Faithfulness tells me there will always be the same measure of bread tomorrow for my needs. Faithlessness tells me to gather, for I do not trust him who supplies tomorrow's bread. Verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. God says, now is the time to gather and eat the bread and take his blessings. Man says there's always tomorrow. God says now's the time. Man says there's always tomorrow. The manna was fresh every morning, church. The manna was good for one day. Whether you grind it, bake it, boil it, eat it as it was, it served the purpose. God expects our testimonies to be fresh every morning. If that manna was fresh every morning, church, God expects our testimonies to be just as fresh. Is your testimony stale? Is it a kind of testimony that it stinks already? I really think about that. Are we saying the same testimony over and over and over? And it's great. But have we moved on? Are we renewed? Are we completely sold out to Jesus Christ, because things are happening every day? I was thinking about something earlier when, as the choir was singing up here, I was watching Weston, and it brought a smile to my face, because as they were singing, he was clapping, and then a couple of times he started pointing like he was directing. I'm not sure if he was cueing somebody. I thought it was funny, but it made me think the youngest person in the church has an understanding of praise. clapping and direction. And some of us in the church that have been here a long time, do we have an understanding of praise and direction? About that. You know, he hasn't even started developing the remembrance of God, that manna in his little life. The rest of us have already started putting manna away. And God is saying, do you remember? Do you remember? God will never forget you. It's up to you to remember that. God expects our testimonies to be fresh every morning. Disobedience stinks in the nostrils of God and should stink in ours. Those that took and saved hoarded the gift and lost the faith. Verse 22, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay it up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. You know, church, God is, when it comes to church, when it comes to praise and worship and finding a day to honor God, God is willing to double up what he has already provided all week long. God is willing to give us more. But you know, many times we come in beaten up from a long week. And it is hard, but God is saying, just open your gathering pots. I am willing to rain down more bread from heaven, manna from heaven, if you are willing to accept it with an open hand, church. And sometimes we want to close our hand or just gather with one hand. God is saying, gather with two. Work, because the day is still young. We still have plenty of time, and maybe we don't. Church, just that instant, someone's life could be snuffed out. An omer. What was an omer? An omer was, and I tried to put this not into a liquid form, but into a dry form. An omer basically comes out to about 2 dry quarts or 8 cups of this substance called manna. So consider 8 cups. You know, for those of you that like pancakes, those of you that like to eat, there you go. Brother Jason already put up his hand. We know his pancake stories. You know, just think about 8 cups, 1 omer, 2 dry quarts. Oh, that's quite a bit. And I was not going to do a quart and cups, because I think it would lose the effect. I think, because I want to get past just the quartz. I want to get higher than that. I wouldn't really find out what this children of Israel, what they had, if you consider over how many years. And it came, verse 27, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. Or if I can change it, when I gave you salvation, when I saved you, do you have an omer somewhere to remember? And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. Generations may see what bread has sustained us, his love. Generations may see what bread has fed us, his word. Generations may see what bread kept us in the wilderness, his mercy. Generations may see what bread maintained us, our faith. Generations may see what bread saved us, his cross. As the Lord commanded, verse 34, as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. Take all of your testimonies and place them in a pot of remembrance. Take the manna which God fed you in your wilderness and lay it up before the Lord. Verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. You know, in Exodus, church, along the same lines, Exodus chapter 13, 16, and it shall be for a token upon thine hand and frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you forth out of Egypt. Later on in the book of Numbers, Numbers 15, 37 through 30, 41, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they may put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that he may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that he seek not after your own heart or and your own eyes after which ye used to go a-whoring, that he remember and do all the commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Tonight, we need to fill our pots with the manna. We need to put fringes on our garments for remembrance. We need to place the frontlets between our eyes. God is still interested in our service to him. Anybody remember what God's done for you lately? Church, God is wanting to do more. Tonight, as we consider a new church building, as we consider everything from the seating arrangements to everything that goes into construction of a building, you know, we thank God. He has kept us safe, because there has been some very interesting moments, especially on those scissor lifts and on stairs and I mean, those ladders, and you think, God has kept us. But the purpose wasn't a building. The purpose was to build people of God. Somewhere along the way, we got to make sure we have those frontlets. We have to make sure we got fringes in our garments. We have to make sure we have manna in our pots. Because God is saying, you need to take all of this with you to the new building. You need to take this in your life as part of ministry. Joshua 5:12 reads, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Ceasing from eating manna. What was manna? It was a provision. It was nutrition. It was mercy. It was health. It is life. There is still manna out there laid before the Lord. Do I recall it? An interesting church about the children of Israel. And my message wasn't very long. Based upon the census figures provided in the book of Numbers, it is estimated that the whole congregation of Israel consisted of some possibly 2 million people. Quite a lot of people. That would be equivalent to 4 million quarts of manna, or 1 million dry gallons of manna every morning. You think you don't serve the God of the impossibilities? A God that can provide manna, 1 million dry gallons of manna morning. I was going to convert it to barrels for you, but I was going to spend more time with a spreadsheet. Thought, no, I'm not going to do this. 4 million quarts of manna to feed the children. You don't think God provides for you? You know, I want to conclude with this point. We need to take the time to look at our relationship with our Savior and remember, we need to determine to be thankful. We need to determine to teach. We need to determine to live. We need to determine to be the Christian we are called to be. This morning, Brother Robert said something really stuck in my mind as Brother Robert came up to sing. And he said something to the effect of, He kind of smiled. He says, I'm not taking Sister Lindsay's place, or I can't take her place, or something to that effect. And I think the Lord is telling me, God is not asking you to take anybody's place. God is asking us to take your place. Brother Robert, God's asking you to take your place. Because we all do things differently, but God is saying, I need each and every one of you to take your place. Because at the end of it all, church, this congregation is all there is. There is no one coming in those doors tonight. This is where the fire needs to fall. This is where the start. There's at least one person with one good arm needs to carry a torch. There needs to be a few people that are willing to blow the trumpet. There needs to be a few people that are willing to carry a standard, to carry a banner to say, we're not going to do this anymore. We are going to go forward. God is saying, simply remember the manna. See what I did for you. And it'll be easier to pick up a standard to blow the trumpet. Amen. God is saying, it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. Church, whatever concerns we have, whatever battles we're in the middle of, we need to know that God is going to provide manna tomorrow. We need to have the confidence in our Lord that tomorrow morning when you wake up, God will provide. He did it for the children of Israel for 40 years. Church, take 40 years. How many days are in 40 years? And multiply by how many gallons of manna? That was a lot of bread. That was a lot of bread. And God provided that for his children. Every day, every part of the season. And I say, Lord, you did that for them. And Lord, we are your adopted children. And you are willing to say, all you need to have is a personal relationship with me. Jesus Christ is saying, simply reach out and speak to me every night, every day, every morning. And don't forget, now and then, look in that pot and look at all the manna. Look at all the blessings. Look at all the memories. Because sometimes that manna is those memories of what God has done. Because many of those things God has done are concrete, church. Your health. People that have come through sickness. People that have been delivered. People that have been saved. The least person you think would be saved is saved tonight. If you think about someone that you knew that would be the last person to be saved on this earth. Church, somewhere along the way, there's somebody who's gotten saved that is probably more full of fire for God than we are, who came through the church. We think we kind of came through the ranks because we've been in the church a long time, so we kind of know our way around. You know, we know the big guy up there. Church, it don't work that way. Because you got to be able to communicate with the big guy, as some people call him. I call him my great God. We need to be able to communicate with him, church. And God is simply saying, remember the manna. We're called to stand in that place between the living and the dead. And I want to finish with that thought. Number 16, verses 45 through 40, it goes like this. Get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And this is Moses with the children rebelling. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. Sometimes that incense is prayer, church. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. You know, church, God is saying, will somebody stand in the gap? Is there someone that is willing to keep the plague? To keep the plague off your people, off your relatives? Right now, in your hearts, you're thinking of someone in your family that if they die tonight, they are not going to make it. You guys know that. You ladies know that there is someone out there and it burns your heart. Does it burn your heart enough to go back and dig, look for that man and say, you know what, God, I'm going to remember what you did because you answer prayers. If you were able to do this for the children of Israel, I know you're going to do a lot more for us in this day, in this age. Church, never lose confidence. Never lose faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith because God is looking for an army of people. I see young boys, young women here tonight, or one young lady. And you know what? Well, I better not insult everybody. There's a lot of young ladies in here tonight. And you know, that's a lot better. And you know, God is saying, I want to use each and every one of you. Are you willing to be used? Go back to that point of your salvation and look in that jar and see the manna. And say, you know what, Lord, I remember. You brought me out. Go back in those prayer books. You know those small prayer books? And I thank Children's Church ministers for providing that little book. Because Michael came home excited. And he says, Dad, look what I got. Look what they gave me. Just like your book. I said, that's great. And I thought, you know what? If our children are trained to set the heavens on fire for us, we should be doing it. And I thank God because, you know, as I refer to mine and I say, Lord, you've answered prayers all along. There's my manna. God says it's deeper than that. There's more bushels. There's more dry gallons of manna that you're not even mentioning because you have forgotten. And God says, don't forget me. Just remember the manna. Church, God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. He is still on his throne. No matter what enemies are coming against this country, no matter who's coming against you, God is still an awesome God. He will dictate your health. He will dictate the mercy he's going to give you. He will dictate what the enemy can and can't do to you. He will control it all. But church, we need to give him complete control of our lives. God is simply saying, just trust me tonight. Look back and look for the manna. If the church would please stand. Sister Pepper, if you'd come to the piano. Tonight, church, a manna remembrance. If you just find a place to pray, it doesn't have to be something so sophisticated. Simply just saying, Lord, just help me to remember what you've brought me out of and what you're going to do for me. And Lord, what you did for my family, God is simply saying, all I need you to do is remember that there is some manna out there that has been left for you, the bread of life. The bread of life, Jesus Christ. Quite simply, God is saying, I just want you to remember. Because if you remember enough, you'll begin to know that I am still God tonight. And I will fix those situations in your lives that need to be fixed. But we got to trust in church tonight. More than anything, with the things that are going on in this world, it's time to trust. Let's find a place to pray church tonight. Around these altars.